tryout begin? I want somebody to give me that answer. Somebody, speak up. When you woke up this morning, what else? When you started training, young men, your tryout started when you took your first breath.
Welcome to another episode of A Different Basketball Podcast. My name is Jordan Mount. Today we are joined by Angelo Weathers. Angelo, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jordan. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I like the little basketball you got back there. What is it signed or what is that?
It is. It's from coaching at the national prep school level, and the players gifted it. And just one of those accolades. I've got quite a few of them, but it wouldn't look right to put all of them up there behind me.
That's a good call. Well, okay, that's pretty easy transition. Let's talk a little bit about your time in Arizona. Well, first off, I want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
Being the Dallas Skyline GM and coach. You know, how does that feel?
Yeah, it feels great, and it feels great more so just because it's a prime time for females and minorities, and it's what I love to do. So I really appreciate it.
I think, Becky Hammond and then the Ivy girl that was now the head coach in Notre Dame. I think those are the only two right now that I know of that are in professional basketball here in America. Do you know of any others?
I do not. I don't know of any that are in the head coaching realm yet. I know it's going to happen, and I hope it's going to happen for us, but not yet besides myself. So it's an honor.
That's awesome. What approach are you going to take to coming into the team? I know that the pro level is very different from everything else. And I know that you demand respect from everybody that I've talked to. You demand respect. So, you know, what's the approach? What's day one going to look like? And you know, how's the rest of the season going to play out, do you think, just from your standpoint?
Sure. Well, just putting things into perspective. So there's a lot, obviously, from a strategy standpoint that's going in. We do have a certain chemistry and ideology behind the kind of players that we want to finalize the roster with. And that's very intentional. So that will transition us into a preseason that will definitely make sure that our players are in the best shape. Physically, mentally, and nutritionally. And with that, with my staff, we intend to make sure that we hit the ground running on just number one, being in tip top shape, and then clearly getting ready to play the style of basketball that we want to play. And mixed in with that, obviously, the community aspect to make sure that their minds, that they're ready from a professional standpoint to what that whole regimen looks like by day, you know, making sure that appearances happen in between workouts. So there will be plenty of opportunity to get in the gym, you know, throughout the preseason. And then as we transition into the season, our goal is to make sure that we're not just jumping out and hoping to develop, but to apply what the guys get through our skills academy that's ongoing with the practices, shoot arounds, you name it. And it's going to be a fun and exciting season, especially because of the mixture from rookies to veterans that I have placed on the roster and those that are to come.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. I was talking to a coach last night who's in the league, and this is going to be a really exciting year just for everybody in general, especially just there's big news happening all the time. You can't even really like cover all of it. You know, I watched Dallas play last year twice. I went to one game and I saw one on TV or on live stream. So, you know, I had a good team last year. You know, I'm assuming, you know, you guys will be good this year, especially with a lot of the talent from the Texas area. I am curious.
We've gone beyond Texas, I can tell you that. I got some things up my sleeve. So we've gone beyond Texas borders, but we do have some hometown heroes to obviously, you know, make sure that our fan base is in full support as well.
Do you know who Carson Edwards is?
I don't.
By chance. So Carson Edwards is from Texas. He played at Purdue. So he was like, you know, probably 45 minutes up the road from me. So he had a really good NCAA tournament. Celtics drafted him. He's from Texas. I can't believe that nobody. So you really don't know who he is?
I know.
Oh wow, yeah, he plays for the Celtics now. He's a good player. He's like 5'10", 5'11", but he can go. But I'm curious. So I know that you have a really good relationship with Prescott, But yeah. Why did you take the job? You know, have you always been looking for an opportunity like this? You know, how did that come about?
Well, that's a great question. So, everything that I've done in the sports world has, you know, it's been intentional. So at the tail end of my pro career, I started in nonprofit management, which was obviously sports. And Prescott was one of my players. So Prescott played for me in high school, and then mentored him through agency. And so have always supported him in his growth process. And he just, you know, clearly look at where he is now, but has become an outstanding young man. And with that, have always for me, just that was my whole plan. It was to set up opportunities to be able to own and coach my own pro team and teams. You know, we're not there yet, but and to have those players. The original plan was to have my own players that in the product that I produced. To be able to play on my team. So it was all very calculated. And, you know, with the changes that happened for Prescott, you know, I definitely was in position to do so. And it made sense with everything that's been on the platform. And so here we are full circle.
That's an incredible story. I know we were talking, me and Prescott were talking earlier, and I was like, did Angela ever yell at you in workouts and stuff like that? And he didn't answer. So I'm assuming maybe a little bit.
I probably did. You know, and coaches, you know, they change and we grow and whatnot. But, you know, I've developed and adapted to different generations. And so guys are different now. You know, you can't yell at every young player out there. Everybody has their own personality. And I know how to get, you know how to get my players' attention. And I know how to get them to respond.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of, you know, kind of, I'm a younger coach. So like, you know, I've kind of caught on a little bit just because I know the generation, but you know, when I get a little further removed, it's going to be a little different. You know, what do you think the adjustment is going to be in the next, you know, like 2 to 3 years? This is kind of an off topic question, having to deal with players in that regard. Cause you can't yell at them anymore. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too, you know,
part of that is because of that great sense of entitlement, right? That media and all the things that make happen and make you famous and a pro before you get there. So, so with that, my understanding of that, is to meet a player where they're at. You have to do that. You know, it's a very, show me generation. And so with that, I'm all about that. I still got the flame and I'm strapped. And so, but I say what I mean and I mean what I say. And I also establish a level of trust. And so I think that's a huge component as well. And then also is teaching and the teachability. And so walking players through that process, I think, is where you establish a great deal of buy-in. So, you know, the fact that I've been coaching, you know, these past few years with this generation and doing, you know, as well pro workouts and things like that exclusively, I know that that you get that buy-in when you do those things.
Yeah, I think the trust level is huge. You know, I'm actually trying to pick your brain right now. So, you know, the trust is huge. Like I was coaching a top Midwest kid workout. So there's 250 top of the Midwest kids coming and Division I offers all over the place, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, unless a kid really trusts me, like, he's not going to listen to what I say. Like, I was telling the guys, I'm like, listen, I can tell these guys whatever and be right, but they're not going to listen to me. These guys have Division I offers and I'm some guy, you know, that they have no idea who I am. Like, why would they want to, you know, hear what I have to say?
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I think that's an interesting point. Now, segue, I do want to talk about your time in Arizona.
Sure.
You know, talk a little bit about the prep school that you guys started and how you know, how that went.
Yeah. So again, you know, it was just taking what had been done already, you know, for over a decade, and you know, putting it into the formal education system where you get a little bit more gym time, a little bit more workout time with the, you know, with the athletes. And so with that, just implemented a lot of opportunities to be able to reach athletes in different countries, which is, you know, which is a pleasure because, you know, now you have the international market that plays a huge role in the game. And so with that, a huge part of the what was predicated in that was my own leadership, sports leadership curriculum. And so that program was already exposing the student athletes to the off-court part of the responsibility, you know, and helping them understand that, you know, as Maxwell says, talent is never enough. And with that, dismantling the entitlement and providing the exposure to my colleagues that are, you know, that are already, you know, at the NBA levels, and helping them to understand and giving them a different voice, because that's another thing that allowed for a great, huge impact. And realistically, the way that that was founded was from a skills academy standpoint. So again, going back to when you can develop your own product, you don't have to, you know, players will come. And that's indeed what happened. You know, players came, and it was a fun, great experience. I got a chance to work with Adidas James Harden and just expand and make sure that players understood the educational process and forms of the professional aspect that it would take to get to where they desire to be.
Now, did any of those guys move on and play anywhere after the prep school?
Oh, absolutely. All of them. So just like the decade before, you know, the guys that came from Prescott's age, all of them went to college. Right. And then here we are, fast forward in the past 5 years. Yeah. So they so we had Joe Mario, who plays for Maryland, and Booth Gotch, so I'm in Utah, you know, put his name in for the draft, and, you know, he did withdraw it. But, you know, guys that are playing at all levels of the game, Caron Butler took a stab at playing overseas for a little bit. He's now here in Texas. And so, you know, I got my own pool of players, you know, already. So, it was amazing.
Well, that's just crazy. Yeah, no, I know the guy from Maryland. I don't know that name. No, that is a interesting thing. You know, I'm curious. It's like when you're telling these players, you know, because right now it's kind of like a basketball. There's so many really good players out there. You know, what are you telling these guys to differentiate themselves? Like, hey, listen, you have to do this and this and this to differentiate. What are those one and two or three things that you're telling them? Like, hey, this is what you got to do if you really want to stand out.
Yeah, so it goes to our Train Up a Champion, you know, medallion. So that's identity. You got to have an identity. You have to be able to identify with who you are in the game and whoever walks in the gym. If a scout walks in the gym, who, you know, what is it that you do well in your skill set? What sets you apart? And that's something that should be quite evident within the first few minutes of watching you play. And then there is what makes you relevant. What makes you so different in even your character, your body language, and your demeanor off the court as well. You know, nobody wants to come watch someone who is, you know, a complete butt face off the court, right? Yeah. Families and fans and people watch you. And so identity and relevance and transition, you know, how do you adapt to change, right? Change is inevitable, just like the transitions in the game of basketball. And so what attributes of your physical body, as well as your mental aspect, allow you to adapt in situations is key. So those are probably my big three.
That was a well-crafted answer. That was impressive. Yeah. I gave you the rule you can't curse on the show. So butt face was good.
I don't use profanity, man.
That's right. You don't use profanity. That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can get a player's attention. You know, I'm assertive, I'm loud and authoritative, and I think, you know, to each his own, you know, to each his own. But I think that, and that's a cultural thing. You know, Jordan, don't get me started on that. That's a cultural thing. I know it's a cultural thing, and it's also a stereotypical thing that you have to get your point across in that way because, you know, the minority in the game predominantly, that's something that we experience in from, you know, family dynamics from the home life, and it, you know, it filtrated into sports. And but that's not true. If you really ask some players, you know, at the end of the day, you know, someone yelling and cursing at them all the time doesn't work for everybody.
No, I agree. I mean, even personally, it never really worked for me. I mean, I was MF'd a lot in college. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, you know, I just didn't respond well.
Yeah.
Which, and you know, is fine, but.
Well, really, you know, yeah. Really, again, it's not. And for me, you know, what my staff and the people that I intentionally put around me is to make sure that we build players up as people first. You know, that's something even in professional, whatever professional industry you're in, that should take place. And because to me, that's how you get people to respond. That's how you get people to do what you need them to do.
I think that's good. Man, that's really good. Yeah, I mean, leadership styles, I think that I wrote a paper on Machiavelli and Tupac.
Okay.
So Machiavelli, I think I talked about this on one of the podcasts earlier. So Machiavelli was in prison and he wrote the book, The Prince. Mm-hmm. And then Tupac was in prison and he read the book, The Prince. And so when he came out, you know, and the whole basis of the book was to be real with the people. Now, Tupac did cuss. Yeah. But, you know, if you're real with people and you're kind of get them to buy into what you're doing and you're actually telling them what, not what they want to hear, but what's true, I think that's how you kind of get.
Transparency is key. And not only that, we have a built-in sense of innate discernment, if you will. So, I mean, we know to a certain degree. We all have, like I said, that foundational level of, you know what, you know when someone it really cares about you, and then you'll begin to see whether someone does it by the way that they treat you at the end of the day. And when someone is real and transparent, at our very core as human beings, we really want that. We really desire the truth. If you ask athletes all the time, you know, who in here wants to play in the NBA? Everybody raises their hand. Well, who in here wants to, along the way, get injured or have 10 children from, 10 different women? No, you don't. Nobody plans for any of that. But the reality is that, and this is what I address my players with, even in our tryout, the reality is that you got to take care of business. I'm going to be transparent with you. I can look at your skill and I can see what you're doing on the court here, as well as my staff, and your talent in certain aspects will speak for itself. But if those other things don't line up as well, the chances are there is a correlation there. You got to make some decisions to get to where you want to be, or you're simply not going to be a pro at that level.
No, I completely agree, and it's it's interesting because a lot of guys just don't catch on to that. Sure. It's wild. It's wild to me because people talk about it all the time, and then they'll come in and they'll just do this opposite of what you're saying. You're like, you're not going to make it. Like, I mean, there's too many good players out there.
Too many good players, right? And then there are good people as well, as we were just saying. And so, again, a lot of my strategy is, hey, you know what? I'm not here to be your mom. If you view me that way, or I'm not here to be your big sister. But at the end of the day, I am here, and my staff is here to be an example to you. And so, in that, we're going to point those things out. We're going to make sure that if nobody else told you at this juncture, when you come across Coach Weathers, you're going to understand what that is. At least you're going to have heard it, right? And maybe it'll process later. But our goal is to get a quick return with the players that we have brought in. So, that's a thorough process. So you make a good point there.
No, I love that. No, what is a few more questions, then we'll get to my favorite part of the show. But Damon Mallett pretty well.
I do.
And Damon is he's starting to run a scouting service for international players. So TBL is all about getting guys in and getting guys out.
Yeah,
it's kind of, we compared it to the G League for going overseas.
Absolutely.
How do you plan to prepare those players? Obviously the same things we've been talking about, but do you want to see those players move on, go overseas and all that good stuff?
Listen, it doesn't make me look any more better. It's not gonna put more money in my pocket even myself to remain at this level, right? It's all about, this is an exposure lead. And so, again, it goes back to why even taking this position, because I do know guys like Damon. I went to high school with him. I think I'm, the better shooter. He might, want to go at it still. But we go back, right? And so I trust his judgment. Today I'll be speaking to J.R. Holden, and I'll be speaking to Greg Butler with Cleveland. And so I came into this particular position already with those established relationships. My agent overseas represented men and women with Global Sports Management. So, you know, this is, you know, and it's about a perspective placement. So we know, you know, what it is to place players where they need to be. You know, my workouts, my individual workouts, my Coach A's lab sessions right now, I'll have NBA scouts in there already. You know, this is something that our goal is to get players in and out as quickly as possible. So that's why also my developmental roster, so that I can continue with this pipeline of players to get them to where they need to be. That's the name of the game. That's the goal. Get signed and continue to, you know, to go to the levels that you desire.
The Greg Buckner, that was a huge flex. That was a big flex. I see you.
You better believe it. I'm coming with it. Listen.
He's with Cleveland now.
Yeah, and you know, and okay. These are good guys. These are people that, you know, you just, you know, continue to network with, and they do. They do their job as well. You know, they make sure they're going to be coming in and out of our workouts. That you know, even beyond you know, that level, I've got some things, you know, in place to make sure that everybody eats. That's the name of the game.
I see you guys out here. Okay. No, I think it's cool to have some, you know, relationships with NBA guys. You know, I have a few, and you know, they're all pretty great guys too. So like that's a lot of fun. And you know, it's weird because, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, you have to network with these people, but hey, I'm not friends with you because you work in the NBA.
No.
And I'm friends with you because I like you. You know what I mean? And people don't understand that.
Because some people, you know, like some people that you know, that work in the league, you may not have that synergy. You know, even from a professional standpoint, they may not be, you know, a good fit for the players that you have. So it's not just a one size fits all. Absolutely. So these are people that, you know, my son played for Greg's organization, you know. My son read JR's books, you know, we know each other. And so that's the beauty of it. And again, it's all about helping others, you know, that's the model that I carry, is a servant leadership model.
I think I feel like everybody I talk to in this league is like exactly like me. Like we all want to help people, and it's great. Quick story. I have a friend, his name's Sam Stervin. He worked for the Pacers and he worked for the Memphis Grizzlies. And he was a manager at Butler, and we're all good friends. And so, you know, he stopped working for the Grizzlies, and now, you know, he came back to his hometown, and,
I love it.
You know, I helped him out with a few things, but like, you know, if he works for the Grizzlies or not, we're all going to still be friends. That's and I just true. Think a lot of people try to take advantage of, oh, he works for this and that. We should, you know, we should try to get, I don't like that.
No, I mean, on record, he comes to the house, you know, on a regular basis. I mean, like, you know, whether he decides, you know, what he's doing next season, you know, Teron Lu's mom is one of my very good friends, you know, it's, you know, and I'm praying that he gets in Houston. But at the same time, you know, it doesn't matter if he's here or if he's somewhere else, you know, I know his character, and I know, you know, his family. And so, he's a good guy. So that's a good point.
Real quick, one more question, and then we'll hit the speed round. You know, what do you think, you know, with TBL and the growth, and obviously you're in the league now and maybe heard some buzz about it before, you know, where do you see the TBL going this year? You know, with all the growth that's happening, and where do you see that niche fitting in?
Well, I mean, it's quite evident with the growth of the teams. You know, every time you turn around, there's a new team, right? That's happening. And if you see, you know, everything is relative. Even you know, even with Flint, like former players and people that have platforms, that's what the league attracts, is, you know, the vision of being able to provide a platform, and not just on the court, but in other aspects, you know, the psychological testing and the whole nine. I think that is what's going to, and some of it is technology wise. And so I think anytime you have that component as well, and I speak of that because we're in the middle of a pandemic, right? And with COVID change making things awkward, I think that just that allows us to continue to move forward, and we won't stop. You know, the fact that that Evelyn has tech savvy skills, like we're going to be, I will say, the Premier League, you know, in contention, you know, without even trying with the G League, you know, when this is all, you know, done with.
Yeah, I'm hearing rumors that I don't know if the G League's going to start for a while. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty cool too, to be able to do it. But you know, another thing is, like, I've talked with a few G League guys, and you know, they're like, oh, this is interesting. You know, it really blew up. It was weird. I came on as an intern in January, and I just watched. I talked to Dave and Evelyn like every day during the pandemic, during the quarantine. And I just watched it like grow from 12 teams or whatever it is now, 26 or 25. So it was, yeah, I think one day we're me and David Maga were talking and we're like, he's like, man, this thing's going to blow up. And I said, all right, whatever, man, whatever you say. And then all of a sudden it just blew up. And, yeah. You know, I obviously believed, I wrote a term paper where I talked about how the league was sustainable because of the values that they had in place.
Yeah. Number one.
And that's, yeah. And I think that's why it's, you know, I think that's why it's going to succeed. So, you know, the values in place now, you know, or long, down the road is going to just pay off because they're always going to stay the same. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's incredible. But here, you know, I know you got time. You got to roll, but, you know, this is my favorite part of the show. So, this is a speed round. You have 1 minute to get through as many questions as possible.
Okay.
All right. You ready? Have you seen the speed round before?
I haven't.
I asked everybody that. Nobody's seen it. That's. One day I'm going to ask, like, oh, yeah, I'm ready. All right, here we go. What's your favorite place to eat in Dallas?
Oh, my goodness, Uncle Julio's.
What's your favorite part of TBL?
The mission and the vision.
What's your go-to date spot?
Ooh, ouch. I'm practical. I like ice cream. Marble slab.
Where's your favorite gym, or what is your favorite gym?
Oh man, Lifetime Fitness is awesome.
What's your favorite gym in Arizona? So basketball facility wise.
The Powerhouse Hoops facility is amazing.
What's your favorite place to visit?
I like museums.
The best basketball game you've ever seen?
Oh wow. Probably, man, when Kobe went off, man, probably Kobe or the Pistons. Man, that's a bad question. Man, I love
time. I don't know. That was tough. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You got 7. This is pretty solid. 7 is pretty solid. The record's 16.
Consistency. I'm consistent. Yeah.
You are consistent. That's good. You gave good answers. One person got through 2 questions, but they gave like really like long, drawn out answers, which
that's hilarious.
Good show. Well, good deal. Well, Angela, I really appreciate you having you on the show. That was a lot of fun. If you ever need anything from me, feel free to reach out.
Absolutely. Okay. I look forward to talking to you again. Thanks for having me on, Jordan.